Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
If you have your Bibles and want to follow along, we're going to be looking at the passage in Romans, and actually we're going to look at the passage in Mark that is tells the same story there. So some of you are Grey Cup fans. It just feels like the appropriate day for Grey Cup. You know, rain, snow, cold. Anyways, you can cheer your team on for sure. Well, today is the last day in our series, The Power Of. Last week, we looked at the power of repentance. This week, we are going to look at the power of confession. And many people see them as the same. And in some ways, they are similar, especially, you know, when we are repenting, often we're confessing our sin. And so I get it. And every Sunday when we have communion, I tend to stand up and quote 1 John 1:9, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it's no wonder that when we think of confession, we think of confession of sin. We think of it in line with a brother of repentance. But there is another kind of confession that is incredibly powerful. And that's what we're going to spend our time on today. I am going to have you engage in this kind of confession right now. And as we're going to learn a little bit about it later, confession, this kind of confession, is meant to be spoken out loud. So not only do I want you to read it with me, but I want you to declare it boldly. We're going to take a look at the Apostles' Creed, and we're going to say it out loud together. So you ready? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. What we just did there was confession. I know we tend to think of confession as something, you know, where you would confess sins, but this here was also confession. We confessed our faith. And you can see that it's different than confessing our sins. It's a confession of what is true. And let me tell you this, there is power in confession. I was working with this Christian guy who was encountering strong spiritual warfare. And I'm sure you know that Satan is a liar. Jesus, when he was talking about Satan, said this in John chapter 44. When he, Satan, lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He will lie to you about who God is. He'll lie to you about who you are. And he'll say things like, how can God be good when life isn't? And he will tell you lies about yourself. You're worthless. True confession, Christian confession, counters this. The guy I was working with was encountering kinds of spiritual warfare. He was being lied to, and he suspected it. And he was thinking, oh, yeah, there's got to be a better way. So I gave him a sheet of paper. And on the sheet of paper, it spoke the truth about who God is and about who he is. And he read through the paper, and I asked him to read through the paper out loud. And so he started reading about, you know, God is love, and we went through these affirmations of faith. He had trouble getting through it first time, you know, just Satan was binding his mouth. He had trouble speaking it. But after he got through it, you know, we worked with it. I sent him home with it. I told him to walk through these out loud every day. He came back the next week, and the spiritual warfare had died down significantly. Why? Well, there's power in confession. I was working with this woman who was struggling with her identity, and she was struggling about who she was as a Christian. She had all kinds of baggage. And so I asked her to read through the first three chapters of Ephesians. And I said, look what it says about you, because you're a follower of Jesus. Look what it says about you. And she got out her journal and she journaled what the Bible had to say about her in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And then I said, I want you to pray those back to God. And she prayed them back to God, and she continued to pray them back to God. And it was amazing what God did in encountering those lies that Satan was feeding her. There is power in confession. How about you? Could it be that God is calling you to use the power of confession to have a breakthrough in your life? Let me take you to one more scripture passage. It's a passage that was read to us, and we're just going to take a look at a few verses in it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. This is the New Revised Standard Version. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. Or from the NIV version, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess and your faith and are saved. The words translated confess in the New Revised Standard Version and declare and profess in the NIV is the same word that's used in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin. The New Testament Greek was originally written in Greek, and the word confessed is the Greek word homologio. In Plato and Aristotle's time, it was a legal word. We could confess a contract. So that would mean that you and I would agree on a contract. So a contract would be read between a contract that we were going to enter into together. And when the contract was read, you would confess your agreement and say, I agree. The other person would confess their agreement, say, I agree. And upon confession, the contract was put into practice and it was binding. When we confess our sins to God, we're agreeing with God that what I did was wrong. God, you said it was wrong. I'm agreeing with you that it was wrong. That is what confession is. When we confess that Jesus is Lord, then we are agreeing what God and his word says, that Jesus is indeed Lord. Part of becoming a Christian is confessing, agreeing with God's word that Jesus is Lord. Notice that this kind of confession is made out loud. You are confessing with your lips. You're confessing with your mouth. You are confessing out loud that Jesus is Lord. There is something about the spoken word that is powerful. That is why when I baptize somebody, I ask them, have you given your life to Jesus, and do you plan to follow him for the rest of your life? And they say yes. Never had somebody say no yet. They say yes, and then I say, upon confession of your faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a confession of faith. Paul tells us in the book of Philippians that there is coming a time when, Philippians chapter 2, in the name of Jesus, every knee will bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's coming a time when Jesus comes again, when everyone is going to agree that Jesus is Lord. He will come in power, and you cannot help but agree. Confession means to agree. Christian confession means that we agree with what God has said. Notice they're using their mouths to make the confession. It's made out loud. A confession of faith is made out loud. To put confession in today's vernacular, confession is stating that we are on the same page. We are agreeing together. We're on the same page together. Now, when God shows us something, the world often has a counterfeit to it. If you have listened to podcasts or have done some reading in the self-help space, you will probably be familiar with the idea of affirmations or daily affirmations. The idea that is that you affirm out loud what you want to become. And for only $47.50 on Amazon, you can buy a poster that says these are daily affirmations found on Amazon. I am open and ready to be positive. I am in control of my feelings. No matter how hard it is, I can do it. I am smart. I believe in myself and my goals. I am a kind person. I make good choices. I have the power to be happy. Today, I'm going to do my best, to be my best self. Today, is going to be a great day. There's nothing wrong with daily affirmations, unless, of course, you're affirming lies, right? Which many of these affirmations, you are in control of your feelings. If that was true, we would all choose to be happy all the time, right? It's not quite true. You're in control of your behavior, even when you have feelings that want to make you behave a different way, but you're not always in control of your feelings. You, no matter how hard it is, I can do it. I don't care how much I believe it, I cannot run a marathon right now. Just saying, right? No matter how hard it is, I can do it, right? It would be appropriate to say I could do hard things. That would be a whole other thing. I am smart. Yeah, I keep on telling myself that. I hope for it, right? Yeah. So, I had a roommate in college, and seriously, he would get out of bed every day. He'd take a look in the mirror and say, "My, you are getting better looking every day." You know, whatever floats your boat, right? But daily affirmations are similar to confessions of faith, but you need to confess the truth. There are such things as daily affirmations of faith. And these can be extremely powerful in your life. If you have given your life to Christ, then saying these affirmations out loud regularly can be powerful. Why don't you read these with me together? God is love, and I am loved by God. God is for me, not against me. God's grace is sufficient for me. God's Spirit is within me. I am a child of God. I am forgiven. I am made new. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am not condemned for my past. I have what I need to do God's will today. There is something about confessing faith that is powerful. When we say it out loud, it has a way of seeping into our soul. If we do affirmations of faith daily, it has a way of becoming and forming our identity. If you find yourself in the middle of a spiritual battle, if you are cluing into the fact that Satan is lying to you and you see what he's lying to you about, then you look in God's word for his truth about your situation. Write that truth down somewhere and you can read it daily. Today, I confess that God is good, even when life isn't. I can rely on the goodness of God. If you're having trouble identifying the lies and finding the truth, then talk to someone who's been walking with Jesus for a while, and they might help you with that. And then make confession a part of your daily routine. If you have a poor self-image, then find out what God has to say about you. He says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that you are the apple of his eye. Find out what God has to say about you and affirm that daily. I believe that God can speak to us as well. In fact, before I go on with this sermon, I'm going to ask God to speak to you, and I'm going to ask him if there's any of his truth that you should be regularly confessing. Are there any truths that you should be regularly confessing? What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give a few moments for God to drop some thoughts in your mind. And if he does that, then you take note of them. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you could lead us. And thank you that you speak to us. Lord, I ask for the people who are hearing this. Lord, would you speak to us about, are there any truths that we should be regularly confessing? Thank you, Lord. Amen. If God dropped a truth into your mind, take a few moments and repeat it right now. As many as you can in 15 seconds. Then when you go home, write that down and put it someplace where you will regularly recognize it, and that you will state it and state it out loud. So as you repeat what God has told you, the truth, it allows you to walk well into who he has called you to be. That's confession. That's a confession of faith. That's an affirmation of faith. And if you do that out loud regularly, there's something very powerful about words of faith. Well, I have some time, so I'm going to take you to the next aspect of confession. There's a relationship between confession and answered prayer. Come with me to Mark chapter 11, verse 12. So the picture on the right there, that is a picture of a fig tree. And it says, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may you no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Fig trees can grow to six meters tall, 20 feet. Jesus sees this fig tree and says, may no one ever eat figs from you again. Peter, a little later in the story, describes what Jesus said as a curse. He cursed the fig tree. He essentially looked at the fig tree, and he said what the English equivalent would be, damn it. That's what he actually, you know, he cursed the fig tree. And so what you need to know about Jesus is that Jesus was the most emotionally regulated person to ever live. He didn't get angry and curse the fig tree because, well, he just was spouting off. That's not Jesus. He did this intentionally because the disciples were listening in. And he had something to teach them, and he had something to teach us about the kingdom of God. Here's what you need to know. When a righteous person who is full of the Holy Spirit says something, the words carry power. If you are a follower of Jesus and his Spirit is in you, and he has cleansed you. Your words don't have the same power of Jesus, but they have power, real power. You can use your words to build up, or you can use your words to destroy people. Sometimes, in order to be released from into the fullness of what God has for them, some people have to renounce the curses that have put on them, their lives, by either themselves or other people. Ah, I'm good for nothing. Ah, I can never get anything right. Ah. Or sometimes, you know, people who are in the place of God and meant to bring the blessing of God to our lives, like parents, even if they are not Christian or they don't have God's Spirit in them, they can curse us. Now, those curses are powerful because they're standing in a place of authority that God has given them. And when they say, ah, you'll never amount to anything, those are curses that wound our soul and sit upon our soul. And sometimes in our spiritual growth, they have to be released. I don't have time to go into that further, but what Jesus was demonstrating is the words have power. This is especially true of a righteous person filled with the Spirit. Well, now back to our story. After Jesus curses the fig tree, he goes into Jerusalem and he drives out the buyers and the sellers and the temple court. Mark chapter 11, verse 19. Then when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In the morning, as he went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed was withered. Peter notices the power of Jesus' words. That 6-meter tree has started to wither from the roots. Says, Jesus goes on to say, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what God says will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will happen. We've been talking about the power of confession. Our out loud confession that Jesus is Lord is part of what allows us to step into the salvation that God has for us. It is our confession about what God says about us that stops the enemy. It is our confession about what God says about us that can establish our identity. Now, our confession about what we believe God wants to do is part of what it takes to allow the power of God to be released in our lives through prayer. Notice when Jesus starts this, he doesn't say, have faith in your confession. That's not what he says. He says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. The confession of our faith has to do with being on the same page as God. We are agreeing with God on what needs to be done. So then when you are agreeing with God on what needs to be done, you can confess it out loud. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, it doesn't say if you have a nice, quiet prayer, then it'll happen. No, it's a spoken faith that is powerful. That doesn't mean to say you don't pray quietly or silently. There's power in silent prayer as well. But there's something about confession that is powerful. There are sometimes when you will have to confess out loud, Lord, I confess, I declare that it's your will, because I believe you showed me that it's your will, for this mountain to be moved. I am affirming that it's your will for my child to come to know the Lord, and I'm confessing that it's going to happen. I'm confessing that you spoke to me that you are going to provide in my situation. I confess that you are going to provide. I'm confessing that your will will be done in this situation. Words are powerful. Faith words are especially powerful. It was a faith-filled confession that allowed you to come to Jesus. It's a faith-filled confession that will allow your prayers to be powerful and effective. Over my years at Asbury, I've tried to coach you on how to hear the voice of God. And there's many of you that have a sense of, well, of what God wants in your life and or in the life of somebody close to you. If you have a sense of that, if you believe that that's God, confess it out loud. Pray it out loud. Tell other people out loud, yeah, I'm confessing that this is going to happen because I believe it's the will of God here. I think I've heard from him. I am saying that this is going to happen, not because I want it to, not because, oh, I've got it all together. This is not a slot machine where you slot a confession in and a miracle happens. But there's a power in agreeing with God in prayer and confessing what God is going to do out loud. For some of you, confession will be about what God has said about you, your identity in Christ. Confess that. And whenever you find yourself speaking something different, or even in your mind something different, confess that sin and say, no, I refuse to believe that I am no good. God has put his spirit in me. God has told me that he values me. God has told me that I am the apple of his eyes. I choose to believe that I am valuable to God. Whenever you find yourself stating out loud lies of the devil, combat them immediately as soon as you see them. If you see your mind running around that track, stop it and start to confess out loud what God has said about you. There's a power in confession about your identity. Some of you, God's going to lead you to pray and confess out loud for what God, you believe God wants to do. That you've heard from God and you just have the sense of God, this is what I want to do. As you start to pray out loud and as you start to tell people about your confession, I believe that there's power in confession. And it allows God to do in you what he wants to do. So here's what I want you to know. Your words have power. Use them well. Your words have power. Use them well. Lord Jesus, let faith in your word arise. We've seen the power of confession in our salvation. We've confessed you as Lord. We believe in our heart you've been raised from the dead and that by the power of your Holy Spirit we were saved. For those who are establishing who they are in you, change their confession and align it to what your word says about them. For those who are in the middle of spiritual warfare, help them to affirm daily what you have said to combat the lies of the enemy. And Lord, for those who have heard from you about what you want to do in a particular situation, Lord, I pray that you give them the boldness to state that out loud. Pray that out loud. Tell other people out loud. Because, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do through the power of faith-filled words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.